Thanks for joining SME's Build and Revitalize podcast series on the recent boom in the warehousing and logistics market. I'm your host, Allie Fry. Over the next few episodes, we will talk to business and community leaders about the trends in consumer shopping and how they've created a huge demand for distribution centers. We'll learn about ways communities, developers, contractors, and financial institutions are working together to quickly adapt to the boom and help owners creating facilities in the warehousing and logistics market. Kick things off, we'll be focusing on the impact that these logistic and warehousing developments have on the community. Today, we have Kenyetta Hairston Bridges as our guest. She's the Executive Vice President of Economic Development and Investment Services for the Detroit Economic Growth Corporation, or DEGC for short. And DEGC is a nonprofit that primarily focuses on investment and job creation to advance Detroit's economy.
Welcome to the show, Kenyetta.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
No problem. To really start things off, tell us a little bit about your role and DEGC's role in warehousing projects for Detroit.
No, thank you, Allison. So I just want to kind of start back. You've already mentioned that the DEGC has been around, you know, for more than 40 years, serving as the lead economic development agency on behalf of the city of Detroit. And serving as that lead agency, the DEGC is committed to the facilitation of business growth, which not only includes your warehouse and your large businesses, but it also includes our small business as well. Our primary objective is to help companies to grow and expand in the city of Detroit. And when we think about the warehouse projects, or we think about companies that are reflective of that type of asset class, you'll notice our most recent investments with companies such as Dakota Integrated Systems, ArcelorMittal, and Tiburina. So, you know, those are some of the larger footprint type of manufacturing and warehouse projects that we've worked on recently, as well as the most recently announced Amazon project, right? DEGC is very instrumental in working to ensure that these businesses and these companies have a landing spot here in the city of Detroit. And in doing so, we work closely with the developers and the city on all public land development. This includes all facets, that come along with land development, such as really helping to identify and preserve existing industrial land to support the increase of employment opportunities for Detroiters. You know, it doesn't stop there with us. We also take it a step further in helping to facilitate any pre-development activities that would need to occur on these sites to make these sites marketable or to increase the speed to market for these sites to be acquired or redeveloped. And lastly, I'd just like to say that we're committed to just facilitating investment opportunities that really increases the supply of all, you know, development, including mixed use and commercial opportunities.
That's quite a broad offering of services to really help these developments along. Now, you mentioned that you also help in kind of the pre-development stages of these projects. Can you speak a little bit about what DEGC does to help get these sites ready for development?
Yeah, sure. So a lot of the sites right now, and you guys know, being in the space that you're in, a lot of these sites have structural challenges that need to be remediated, right? Just because of the general nature of the city being in an industrial city, a lot of the sites have contamination issues. A lot of the sites have infrastructure running underground that may need to be relocated. What the DEGC does is we typically will identify a site and deem that this site would be a great site for increased investment. And typically, we're looking at sites that are already zoned industrial, right? So we want to preserve our industrial base. And we're looking at sites that are already identified as industrial. And we'll go in and we'll perform, you know, preliminary title work on the sites, because even though the city owns the site, there may be inherent title issues on the site that persist. So we typically go in and we do some title work. We will do an assessment, a baseline assessment of the site in terms of looking at the infrastructure assets to make sure that we do have adequate infrastructure running to the site. But we also look at, you know, if a building was to be situated on this site, is there anything underground in terms of the infrastructure that would prevent you from building a building over it? Is it a major sewer line that runs along the site that would prevent a developer from building over it? So we kind of do those type of assessments. And we also do, in some instances, we'll do the phase ones. And well, in a lot of instances, we will go ahead and do phase one environmental assessments. So we're trying to take it to a step where we've done a lot of the preliminary work that would help save a developer a little bit of time as he come in or she comes in to look at this site to build out a new industrial project.
That's a huge asset to really help site become nearly pad ready or take a lot of the guesswork before a developer even looks to purchase the site. You mentioned that a lot of these sites are city owned. Are a lot of the adjacent properties typically city owned, or are you also dealing with property owners that surround these industrial properties?
So a lot of the sites are city owned, but you still have sites that are adjacent that will be privately held. So for example, we have a 30 acre site that we're looking at right now, doing some preliminary diligence on. For the most part, the 30 acres are owned by the city. However, there's approximately 8 acres that's adjacent to the site that's privately held, right? So you're still having to go in and try and negotiate with private landowners if you want to square off the parcel or if you want to create a much larger format parcel. And then there are other instances where you have residential lots that may be adjacent to the site that are vacant residential lots. And typically, a lot of times, those sites are held by the Detroit Land Bank Authority. So when you start to look at the ownership, it could be a disparate ownership that exists around a large format parcel.
Yeah, and I'm sure with many developments, we've seen conflict between, you're creating jobs by developing that site, you're creating a tax base for the city, but you may have some neighbors that don't really want to see a warehouse go in next door or maybe see that as a negative impact on their property. Do you have any tips for companies or organizations looking to get support for a warehousing project that may not be popular with their neighbors?
Yeah, that is a great question because we've dealt with that in some instances as of late. But I think the number one thing that I would say is very important and critical is community engagement and transparency. So community engagement is key to being able to redevelop a site because the community has to understand that, when we talk about warehousing, this is very low. It's very low impact, right? When we talk about these Class A warehouse space, this is low impact. These are not heavy polluters, And so it's being able to communicate that to the residents and being able to prioritize any feedback that the residents may have and allow them to understand how that site will interact with the rest of the community fabric or the neighborhood fabric, how, the project intersects with the current fabric of the community, I think is very important. But I think developers have to be open to compromise when you're looking to put an industrial building within the neighborhood, right? The developer must adhere to any setbacks that are required. They must look at how to really landscape and how to mitigate any risks to the adjacencies, right? You got to look at berms. You got to look at elements that would allow the residents to interact with the site, such as your stormwater, right? There's opportunity to do stormwater features that, as a part of the planning process, that would allow residents to be able to, interact with that stormwater feature, even if it's like a pond and they're able to sit around a pond or something like that. You got to start to think about these type of things when you're putting warehouses in the communities. And you got to be take real extreme caution to mitigate any polluting factors. And when I say polluting, I mean maybe from your trucks, right? Trucks coming in and out, or any air or environmental hazards that may be present.
So you mentioned really looking at community engagement as a developer and as other shareholders in a warehousing project. Where do you start with community engagement? Do you have meetings? Do you announce it in some way? What's the best way to start?
Yeah, thanks for that question, Allison. The community engagement process here in the city of Detroit is very intentional on engaging a community. And so the city has established what is called the Community Engagement Ordinance, and its acronym is the CEO, right? And so in partnership with the city, we hold public community engagement meetings, which allows the community to learn about the project at a very early stage. These meetings are public, and we also adhere to a notice requirement, right? So giving the community about 10 days notice before you have any meeting so that you can make sure that you've touched most of the individuals in the community. You've given them time to prepare, and you know, there's a summary that goes out to them so they understand what we will be talking about so that they're well prepared to engage in these conversations. And it's during these conversations that, you know, we discuss those key elements around the zoning, around the environmental, around air quality with the community. And we typically will meet with the community, and it would be separated according to subject matter. So we hold multiple meetings. It's not just a one-time meeting. We'll hold multiple meetings. And in those multiple meetings, you know, one meeting will be about the zoning. Like I said, one meeting would be about the environmental aspects. One meeting would be about traffic and trucks, so that we're engaging them deeply on each topic. And then there's an opportunity for the community to feed into that, provide their feedback and their assessments. And if there's any issues that arise out of that, it gives the developer the opportunity to develop a mitigation and an implementation plan to address the issues that were raised by the community.
Looking at some of your historic meetings that you've had for these different developments, can you think of a time where you got some feedback that the developer implemented that really contributed to the success of the project, and the developer was really glad they got that community feedback?
I think there's a couple of them that I can speak to. One as of recent, which the project is still much very active and going on, is the development of the former Cadillac stamping plant. Cadillac stamping plant is about 900,000 square feet of former, you know, manufacturing space, is, you know, a blighted site at this point in time. And we've partnered with a national developer, North Point, to come in and to demolish that site, remediate that site, and build new Class A industrial spec space. One of the concerns that the community had was that the ingress and egress for that site, it crossed the greenway. So in order to get in and out of the site, your trucks would have had to come across the greenway, which has been, that's historically been the access point to the site. The site had been around much longer than the greenway. The greenway came afterwards, but that is a public asset that the community enjoys. And the community wanted to keep that greenway continuous without trucks coming across the greenway. And quite frankly, we realize that that's a safety hazard, right? Because you got kids that, you know, may potentially be on the greenway, and you got trucks intersecting with that. That was a big issue. And so the developer was asked to reevaluate the positioning of the building, reorient the site plan, and to think about other ways to come in and out of that site. After much back and forth with the developer, they did reorient the site plan. And now the traffic, instead of coming off of an east-west positioning, it'll be the trucks will come north and south. They're going to be using a different road, you know. But that was one of the concessions that the developer did make in order to make sure that they're being a good neighbor and that they're also mindful of the public asset. And in addition, they offered to plant additional trees along the Greenway, to do some beautification efforts along the Greenway. So there was a compromise made there.
And so that gave the opportunity for the developer and the community to really come together to compromise and maybe even create a better asset than what would have happened if they kept that as the main entrance.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the developer, you know, they want to be a good neighbor. They're going to be in that community for a long time. And North Point is the type of developer that hold their assets. So they want to be a good neighbor to the community and want to continue the dialogue with the community on things that, you know, that could be improved upon or things that they can be doing. Or if there's anything that they're not doing, you know, that the community would feel comfortable coming to them, letting them know what they like to see.
So after these warehousing projects are constructed and the business kind of gets going on that property, does the community engagement continue through the developer, or does DEGC help with any community engagement post-development?
That's a very good question. Post-development, we have a robust workforce system with Detroit at Work. So typically Detroit at Work, and you know, DEGC works with Detroit at Work in the community, but we really work to understand the needs of the community in terms of employment opportunities, right? Because a lot of times people think warehouse and logistics and they think, they don't think highly of the jobs. But when you really think about warehouse and logistics, this is one of the most important components of the supply chain, be it food, be it clothes, be it personal protection equipment that is very, you know, that's very important today. These are jobs that provides ladders of careers for individuals, right? It allows you to look at the different continuum of employment opportunities from warehouse logistics to distribution to records management and things like that. So we work closely with Detroit at Work to ensure that the neighboring residents have priority access to any opportunities at these facilities. So there's continued engagement there, because what has been precedent in the city is that with our industrial projects, they're prioritizing the hiring of residents that are within the zip codes directly adjacent to the facility. And so there's continued engagement on training the residents to make sure they have the adequate training, to make sure that there's connectivity between the company and the community through various job fairs and things of that nature.
What advice can you give to cities that are looking to attract this kind of industrial development in their community?
One thing that I would say is to really understand your talent base. Talent drives a lot of the decisions made by the companies. And we were really recently told by a few other suppliers that Detroit is attractive, one being that we do have availability of land. But another reason why we're very attractive in that we have the available talent pool, right? We have the talent pool. We have the skill sets here. We're a manufacturing community, right? And when you start to look across Michigan and you start to look at where the concentration is of the availability of the talent, and talent who has the manufacturing wherewithal is centered right in the heart of Detroit. So I think communities need to really understand their competitive positioning, especially in terms of the talent, because that's what's going to really drive a business to your community. It's not, you know, everyone can offer, you know, a certain level of incentives and things of that nature. But what's really key is, I can say it enough, is having marketable sites and your talent. If you have those two things, then you have the ability to be successful in those type of bidding situations.
And talking about those marketable sites, you know, you mentioned near the beginning of our discussion, looking at the challenges with a site before a developer even gets on site. Are there any sites that you've come across where maybe the challenges are too big for a developer, or the work is pretty significant to get that to more of a pad ready site?
We do have sites that present significant environmental challenges, which are very costly. But I think the one advantage to that is that you have a city government that is willing to get into the weeds of it and understand what needs to be done and partner with the developer. So rather it be looking at federal or state funding or local funding that we can bring to the project, we will uncover every stone, right? Unturn every stone of funding in order to support the project and support the developer. So one of the sites now where there are significant remediation that needs to occur, the city has invested a ton of money into the early due diligence work on the site. We're now looking at opportunities where we can go after federal and state funding in order to help remediate the site. And the developer is at the table as well. So there's a coordinated approach around how we look at these sites and partnering with the various instrumentalities to make sure that we're doing everything we can to support a developer.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about some of those state and federal funding opportunities to help get these projects off the ground.
We work closely with the state's environmental team, known as EAGLE, to go after grant funding for these sites. And we work closely with the state's, you know, the MDOT, Michigan Department of Transportation, to look at opportunities for road improvement funds, right? So we're looking both at the environmental landscape as well as the road infrastructure. And we recently went after federal EDA money through the CARES Act to support improvements to the infrastructure around one of our projects right now. And we've made it to the next round where we're being looked at favorably for funding to support our project.
It's really impressive how your organization kind of helps everyone come to the table to make these projects work, whether that's getting the community buy-in, getting the developer to understand the challenges that they're facing and the opportunities that are there for that site, and bringing the city and state and federal organizations to come to the table and help figure out how to get this project site cleaned up and ready to go.
Yeah, I think it's important. We got to keep in mind that our goal and our mission is to create an environment that allows businesses to thrive in the city of Detroit, right? So drive jobs and investment in the city of Detroit is our number one goal. And so whatever we can do to make sure that we're creating a landscape or an opportunity for business to create additional jobs or for new business to locate here, whereby Detroiters can have access to employment opportunities, I mean, that's what we're going to do.
Looking overall, what do you want the communities out, even in Detroit or outside of Detroit, to know about the opportunities that warehousing developments can bring them?
I don't want the community to be scared of warehousing opportunities. I want the community to know that warehousing is a very low-pack industrial use. While there may be additional truck traffic that may occur, there's ways to mitigate any type of risk that may be present from trucks coming in and out of a site. And I'd like to know that warehousing is not a noxious use. And again, I think I'm going to always continue to go back to where I see the importance of the landscape is that warehousing provides an opportunity for jobs in your community. And it provides a diversity in your jobs or your employment opportunities. Not everyone, right or wrong, are going to be your doctors or your lawyers or your professional careers like that. But it has to be opportunities for everyone within the community. And I think warehousing provides that spectrum of employment opportunities for residents. And so I think it's very important that communities wrap their arms around the opportunity for warehousing and the jobs that come with it.
Really well said, Kenyatta. I'd like to thank you for your time today. I think we've got a lot of good information for the communities and then the cities and the developers that are listening out there. Anything else you'd like to share about Detroit Economic Growth Corporation's upcoming projects or plans with our listeners?
No, I want to thank you for having me today. I want anyone to know that if you're looking at the city of Detroit in terms of investment opportunities, or you know someone who's considering investment opportunities, that they should feel free to reach out to the Detroit Economic Growth Corporation. We stand ready to support and encourage investment in Detroit. And, you know, I want individuals to know that in addition to all of the work that we do around siting a project, we do help on the financial viability side of the deal. So we pull together the entire package. We're not only looking at land, but we're looking at, again, incentives that can support the deal. We're looking at what needs to happen from a financial perspective to make this a viable deal in the city. And we're also making sure that we're connecting them to our workforce system so that the talent is there as well. And so I just want everyone to know that we're open and we're ready for business.
That's great to hear. Okay. Well, thanks for being on the show, Kenyatta.
Well, thank you. I enjoyed it.
Thanks for listening to the first episode in our Warehousing and Logistics Market on the Build and Revitalize podcast. The series will continue with an interview with Kevin Hegg, Vice President of Ashley Capital. We'll take a look at how developers work with the Amazons of the world to find the right community for their distribution facilities. Be sure to subscribe to the Build and Revitalize podcasts on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. Check out www.sme-usa.com/podcast to join the conversation, access show notes, and catch our series on diversity and inclusion in the AEC industry. While you're at it, connect with SME USA on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube.